Let's get into the Word for a little while. I'd like to give a little scripture background tonight before we move on from where we left off on Sunday. So let's get started again and move on. We're not going to try to embellish this, but I think sometimes it's good for us just to put our noses in the Bible. And although I tell you that's what is said, I think sometimes it's good for us to see it. So let's just turn to John, the first chapter, and verse 14. The Lord is so good to us. Sometimes you have to pray and preach and do everything, work up the anointing. Sometimes the Lord just gives it to you right from the start. The last two Wednesdays have been that way. The first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I'm reading from the very first verse of the first chapter. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, that is John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, this Word that we've been reading of the first few verses of the chapter, this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we had said on Sunday that Jesus was the revelation of Jacob's revelation, because Jesus was the house of God. You see, Jesus was the Word that was with God from the beginning, and it was necessary that he come and dwell in a house. God needs a house. The revelation to Jacob was that there was on earth a house for God. You see, this is the first time that the revelation that God would even dwell on earth and among human beings was ever materialized. You have to understand that until then, God was in heaven, man was on earth. No one ever dreamed God wanted to dwell on earth. We know that God made man and that he made the earth for man, but we never dreamed that God wanted to come and live here with us. And so God has always wanted to dwell. God has always wanted a house. But God didn't only want a house, he wanted a family in the house. And so the plan of God was to get us all together. He made us out of dust. He put us down on the earth. But the whole purpose of God is that we live together like a happy family. And so the Lord made it so that he would come and dwell with us. When it all began in the Garden of Eden, the Lord used to come and dwell in the garden. And he was there. Adam would always know where he was. That's why he went and hid. When you hide, you don't go and hide where you think the person's going to be. They knew where the Lord showed up. In fact, in the place where he always was, he began talking to him from the place where he was. Adam could hear his word. He could hear him speak, but he couldn't see him. And it's like they knew where God was, and they were always seeking him out. And this time, Adam wasn't there. Now, the Lord knew where he was, but he says to Adam, "Where are you?" He says, "We're hiding." Isn't it amazing God didn't say from who? He figured it out right away. You know, they could have been playing hide and seek with Eve and Adam, between the two of them. That wasn't it. It's just that they always had a meeting place. There was a house of God in the garden. There was a place where God manifested himself. Do you know the Bible speaks in Revelation, especially of the tree of life? Jesus is that tree of life. Jesus said, "You have to come and eat of me, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, or you can't have life in you." We have to understand there was a tree of life in the middle of the garden that at one point of time when Adam fell in sin and God had to get him out of the garden, he guarded the garden with a sword saying, "Lest they go back and eat of the tree of life and live forever." So where was God in the garden? Who is the tree of life? "And to those who believe it shall be granted to eat of the tree of life forever and ever and ever." Because you see, that garden that was on earth was in heaven first. It's a pattern. Everything on earth is a pattern of that which exists in heaven. The actual bread of life, the actual tree of life, was on earth. That was the house of God, not during Jacob's time, that was in Adam's time. Adam knew that they could go at any time at the tree of life, and there was God. They met with God every time they met, just like you do. You know you can come to church, give or take a few bad services. You know you're going to meet with who? So you come here to meet with? We don't come to make each other happy, although once in a while we come to be in a party spirit, but for the most part we come to meet God. Why do you come here? Because He has a way showing up. Okay, so after the cross, He shows up in many places, wherever two or three gathered together. Because remember, after God, after this, John 1st, when God made His Son His temple, now we are the house of God, because God wanted a house not made by hands of man. Now, remember, in the garden, God made the tree. That was a house of God. In the paradise of heaven, that was made by God. The temple of Solomon was made by Solomon, man. Okay? Moses' tabernacle was made by man, Moses. But it was done after the pattern of what God did, but man made it. And God honored it. In other words, God came. In Moses' tabernacle, they could see the cloud of glory. They could see the Lord there. The Lord spoke to them face to face. They knew God was there. And it says that anybody that wanted to meet with God had to come out of their tent and go and meet where? The tabernacle. Basically, in bottom line, what we have here is that God has a house. God has a place He wants to dwell on earth. We are the house of God now. But I wanted to show you how way back in the garden, God had a house. He had a place. They knew where they could go and meet with God because He was always there. When Adam went and hid, he didn't go and hide by the tree of life because he knew God was there. So he went and hid somewhere else. But after so many hours of no one seeking God out, he was basically saying this, "Where are you? How come so many hours and you're not looking for me? I miss you. Where are you?" Well, one place he wasn't is where God was, where God dwelt, where God was. Where would that be? The tree of life. Because the Bible says Jesus is that tree of life. He is eternal life. We have to understand in our own hearts and minds that God, every day of our life, wants to meet with us. God has meeting places. But because God's meeting places aren't made by man's hands, it's not the closet in your home. It's not the cabin in your truck. It's not your car. How many know that God has met with you in just about every place imaginable, including a shower when you don't have anything on? See, God doesn't have a problem. God can be anywhere because He doesn't meet in places where human beings make His dwelling. But God wants to dwell with us. God wants a house. God wants a house on earth. It is very important that the revelation that God gave unto Jacob is that he has a place on earth where they could find God. Jacob made all those journeys and God could only speak to him through dreams. But on his way back to the place where God was, the place they called what? Bethel, the house of God. They met God. Is it any wonder that when he stumbled into the place where God was, let's just say it was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, when he ran into the tree, when he ran into that place, suddenly God was there. He went to sleep that night, and lo and behold, God was there. Every time this guy went through Bethel, there was God. And so the Lord says, "I want you to return to the place where you know I am." Now, in the Old Testament, God had geographical places where they could go and meet with Him. Why, we don't understand, but there were certain places where God was. And there were certain places that God honored to be in. I don't know how many mountains there were during that time, but why Mount Sinai when the Lord decided to come down in fire and in glory and dwell on that mountain for all that time with the children of Israel? Why that mountain? He could have taken them any way he wanted to. There could have been any number of mounts. But let me ask you this question. Did every mount in the area 100 miles around or every mount on the world burn to a crust and have God on them, or did just Mount Sinai? When God came again, he never came again to the Mount Sinai. So, well, I roasted that one. Let's go to another one. No. You see, he sat down and said, "This is where I'm going to make my home right here." Kadesh Barnea, or wherever that might have been. He said, "This is where I'm going to be." All the rest of them went and gathered around where he was and made their homes within 2-mile radius. Where was God? In the middle of them. Right there. So everything standing. When God moved, he moved again to another state. He went, sat here. He said, okay, I'm going to live here. So all the people do what? They up all their tents, all their stuff, and move again and go where God is. Not ask me. Does God have the idjits? Skidjits? Why didn't he just stay in one place for 40 years? God moves. He doesn't stay in the same place. Listen, if you're one of these people that really like to get out and you like nature, and you drive 100 miles and go to the same place all the time for 30 years, there's something wrong with you. Now, if you drive 100 miles in all five directions and get to see something new every time, there's something right with you. God likes change. He likes different. He likes to move. He likes to start something else. I sometimes say that the women share more of God's nature than the men. I think he took that part out of us and gave more of it to you. That's why they rearrange a bedroom 1,600 times in a lifetime instead of just leaving the stupid stuff right in the same place all the time. Well, we all understand that. We're not making a deal out of this. But they have to be more like God, because God could have just stayed in one place, but he didn't. And he had to move all his stuff first. First the cloud moved, then they had to pick up all his curtains and all his stuff and all his utensils and all his altars and all his gear and move all his home. And when they finally set up home for him, now the people knew where to live. Isn't that amazing? Jacob discovered something long before that ever happened. Moses just continued on with a revelation that was already given to Adam in the garden. Now, he could have been anywhere, but he was always there. The same place. I don't know if the tree of life moved around. It could have. It's an adamant person. Fluid. God shows us that he likes to move around, but God likes to make a home. And wherever home is, he wants us. If he's alone in the garden and he only had two people that he made, he wanted those two people with him. He likes company. He likes to surround himself by company. He can never have enough. Can you imagine that? We can have enough children. God has millions and millions and millions of angels. He has created beings, so many, there's billions of people on the earth. He still wants more. He said, why don't you shut it off in 1432? No, he wants people. God is a family God. He wants to be with us. He wants to live with us. He wants to surround himself by us. And God likes to move, and he likes to set up home. He likes to claim a stake, homestead. That's God. If you want to know something about him, he likes homesteading. He does. One of the things that we have to understand is the principle behind this. God likes to dwell with his people. That's why he wanted to be in the midst of them. He didn't want to be up here in front and everybody live down there away from me. You know, that's what high shots do, don't they? Everybody lives away, and the lower class, they live even further away. God doesn't. He lives right in the middle and wants to be a surrounding. That's why God said, I will be in the midst of thee. We sing songs like that. I will dwell in the midst of thee. And so this goes on and on and on in God. This is the way he is. God, you say, well, why are you teaching us about this? Because God always loves it when we talk about him. He wants you to know him. The Lord likes us to know just what he's like. Why is there such a thing as an American dream? Although the American dream isn't necessarily God's dream, I think it came out from God's dream. Because the American dream is to own your own home. God's into that. God's into that. First, he surrounded himself by Adam in a garden. Then he surrounded himself by a place in the middle of the wilderness by a bunch of pile of rocks where nobody would even know that he was there, and nobody would go out to find him there. And he says to Jacob, you know that pile of rocks back there where you slept running away from your brother? Yeah, go back there. He said, come back. I miss you. Where have you been? I let you go so that you could find a wife, have a family, have a home, and then know why I enjoy it so much. And now he says, I want you back where I am. And I want you to dwell there. I want you to make your home around me. I want you to be where I am. There's a lot we could say about that, even in the practical, but it's not where I feel the Spirit wants us to go. I feel the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to you. Jesus wants to be surrounded. When he was on earth, he didn't have a physical home where he lived. He himself said so. He said, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lie his head. He doesn't have a pillow. He doesn't have a home that he calls his own. He doesn't have real estate. As much as God's into real estate and wants to buy real estate, Jesus stayed out of it. He said, well, why does the very God that loves to buy real estate stay out of real estate? Well, the Bible's clear. He made himself poor that you might be rich. And he was talking not only naturally, but spiritually in things concerning faith and things concerning mercy and things concerning God and also concerning the natural things. Now, I'm not going to go off on a prosperity message. I think we're getting plenty of that in our world today. I've made a statement about that before, and I need to just share that with you one more time so you don't forget it. It's not that this isn't the gospel, all this prosperity message. It is the gospel. It is a part of the gospel. It's just not all the gospel. And when that's all you hear and that's all people preach, you've made it the gospel. And it's just a portion of God's gospel. He has so much to teach us on. That's why I don't dwell too much on it, because everybody else does. So you'll get your ear full before long. And yes, God does believe in real estate, but he came and made himself poor that we might be rich. God wants to inherit the earth through the saints. God wants to give us the earth. He wants us to inherit the earth. He wants us to be here. However, tonight's subject is not the earth, it's not real estate. It's a home, not a house. House is real estate. A home is a place where God dwells surrounding himself by family. And that's what God loves. That's why he likes to be here. That's why he said, wherever two or three are gathered together, wherever you get three or four bricks together, and it looks like there's a pile of rock on the ground, I'll dwell there. That's it. Peter says, we of lively stones are built together. Paul says that he is a master architect, is building us together, fitly framing us together. Peter's clear to say that we're lively stones. He, like stones, builds us together into a temple of the Lord. Yes, every time we get together, he just rushes to it. He loves to be there. He was here waiting for us tonight. You see, this is God. This is what he wants you to know about him. He's homey. Anytime you create an atmosphere that looks like home, he's there. You don't have to beg him. You have to call upon him. You could do that with your family at home. You could do that with a friend at home. You just so much as begin to talk to somebody about the Lord, and in the middle of your conversations, the Lord says this to the prophet. He said, when they were about listening, talking about the things of the Lord and reminiscing in the past and the great things that the Lord had done, he said he came down and he started making a record. He'd say to the angels, hey, listen to these guys. Man, listen to these guys. They sure talk about me, don't they? Mm-hmm. You hear what they're saying? Yeah, you better scribe that down, angels. Come on, start scribbling. I want to see a record of this. Make a record of what these guys are talking about. They weren't even in church. They were just together sitting at a table chatting about God. And where was he? Right there in the middle of it. God wants you to know this about him. He wants you to know that when you just but have a thought toward him, he's right there. He loves company. He loves it when we devote any moment of our time to him. You see, Jesus was the dwelling place. Jesus was the house of God. The Word became flesh, and the glory of the Father was in him. God the Father dwelt in Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwelt in Jesus. He was the house, the mobile house of God. And Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. That is, that Jesus Christ was the cornerstone. He's called the stone. He's the first, the angle stone. And on that foundation, all the rest of the building was built. Some people say, well, how can you build a building just on one stone? Well, if you think of a triangle and you take the vortex at the top and turn it upside down and make that the foundation, all the rest of the building will come off of there and rest on that one fulcrum stone. And so Jesus is that stone. And we all become the dwelling place of God from there. He was, and now all of us built upon the apostles, prophets, which were built on Jesus. Everything built out from there becomes the house of God, becomes the dwelling place of God. That's the beauty of it, that God has a house on earth. Whose house are we? The Bible says, whose house are we? We are the house of God. And when we as lively stones get together, just two of you, three of you, four of you, or even a group like here tonight, or in the thousands, to magnify and name and praise him. Man, God's in the middle of all that. He is. Inspiring faith, giving orders to angels to bless this one and heal that one and touch that one. They're magnifying me. I'm at home. I'm here. I'm home tonight. I'm happy. I'm surrounded by my loved ones. I got a family. That's why God created us. God is a family man. Do you know, in many of these encounters, when God came to Jacob and revealed himself to him, first thing he said to him is, I'm the God of your father, God of your grandfather. God is a family person. God is someone that likes to live in a home and be in a home and being part of a home, being part of our home. That's what we are tonight. The Bible says that we were created for His pleasure. He wasn't created for ours. We were created for His pleasure. We bring Him pleasure. He loves to be with us. Jesus was a revelation of the revelation that Jacob had, that God dwelt on earth. Because until then, everybody thought He lived up there in heaven somewhere. And until Jesus came, and the Bible actually says that He was the dwelling place of God on earth, what happened everywhere in between? Well, I'm trying to show you that even at the Garden of Eden, God had a special spot on earth where He dwelt, where He liked to meet with human beings that He'd created, i.e. only two by then. But still, He had a place on earth to dwell just for those two. So is it any wonder that if two gathered together, that He's in the midst of them? He was in the garden. Is it any wonder that God doesn't need 5 million people gathering together to His name up against Capitol Hill in some great manifestation? No, God just needs two people talking together about the things of the Lord. He's right there. God dwells on earth. Our Father which art in... That's our mentality. Our mentality is that our Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where's heaven? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Why do we sing songs like that? Because they have a message. What message did they have? That heaven and earth are that close together. Where's hell? Maybe not so far as you think. God wants to get to something simple tonight, and I'm winding up at that point. I didn't want to give it to you at the beginning. Here's the simplicity of it. When it comes down to it, our whole mentality is God's way out there somewhere in heavenly places. God dwells on earth. God dwells with man. God is down here. That's the revelation of Jacob. Jesus was the manifestation of it. Jesus was the beginning of it. Jesus was the permanent house of God on earth. You say, well, Jesus left. No, He didn't. Jesus didn't leave. If Jesus left, then who's in your heart down here on earth? Who lives in your heart? The Godhead lives in your heart. Did you accept Jesus in your heart? You did? Well, why would you accept somebody in your heart that doesn't come and live in hearts? Who messed your head up? Is your head messed up, or do you know something that some people don't know? You are the dwelling place of God. God dwells on earth. Where's heaven? People speak of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you. It's within us. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. God dwells down here. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that the revelation that God gave Jacob when He named the place Bethel, the house of God, El for God, that He was actually saying, just like they thought the earth was square and suddenly one day they woke up to the fact that it was round. Everybody thinks God's up there and heaven's up there. The earth is round. God is here. Jacob actually discovered God isn't up there in the constellation. When God made him look to the stars, his grandfather and him, and made him look at all those stars and the sand in the desert where they were, it wasn't to show him where heaven was up there in the galaxies. It was to tell him, that's how many people I'm going to give you here on earth. That's how big my house is going to be on earth. How about that? God says, my house is going to be made with so many stones, you're not going to be able to count them. They're going to be like the stars in heaven, like the sand that's underneath here. That's how big my house is going to be when I'm through building it. And He said, Abraham, I'm going to start with you. And He said, Jacob, I'm just going to give you a little revelation here. Come over to this pile of rocks here. Comes over to this pile of rocks. Whoops, God's there. He said, every time I come around this pile of rocks, you're here. Hello, you got the revelation. I live down here. There? In that pile of rock? So He leaves for a few years. And God says, you know, I miss you, Jacob. Why don't you come back to this pile of rock? Well, why don't you come where I am? No, I live here. You come to my house. You see, it was all physical, it was all geographical at one time. But God was beginning to give the revelation to mankind that God does dwell with people, and He does dwell on earth, and He is here on earth, and He loves the earth and the fullness thereof and everything that's in it. He doesn't just own the earth because He's a billionaire and likes one more thing to own. He just wants this earth. He loves this earth and everything that's in it. God loves the dirt. God loves everything that's down here. God loves the plants, the trees. He made everything. He created everything. He puts everything. Sometimes God just likes to walk out there in Colorado just to see the beauty of the mountains. Why do you think God does those kind of things? He likes it. God loves that. Sometimes I think He just stands on there and goes, "Hello!" Just to hear something say, "Hello!" God doesn't speak just to hear Himself talk. God's words come forth and they accomplish what He purposes in them. He knows that every word of His gets accomplished. He knows that every word He speaks. God, I wished I had that revelation in my soul. I speak too many words, just they're in vain. Sometimes when we preach, I think, "Lord, that's just a bunch of empty words." No, they're not. They're bringing revelation into people's hearts. They're breaking chains. They're breaking bondages in people's thinking. It's tearing down strongholds in people's minds. Because God has news for us. He lives right here in you. He lives with you. He's not far off. He says, "I'm not a God afar off. I'm not a God out there. I live and I dwell down here on planet Earth. And more than that, I dwell in the people of planet Earth." That was a revelation that started with the little man that at one time thought God dwelt in a pile of rocks. Then there was another bunch of people that came later that thought He dwelt on a mountain that he burnt to a crust. Then there came others that thought He only lived in one particular tabernacle that had to be made the certain way He wanted it made. And that's the only way that God could come and dwell there. Then came Solomon that built Him this beautiful temple. Then they came and destroyed the temple, took everything away. Whoops, God has no home. They stole God's home. No, they didn't. The devil just likes to destroy any place God wants to live. And God just lets him do it. Why? Because he's just too big. He likes to live in other places. He can have that one. I'll go somewhere else. I'll make another one. God's a builder. He likes to build. Just ask somebody that just really likes to build why they build something, live in it 1 year, leave it, and got to build something else. Because they got a little bit of God in them. Amen? Then the bottom line comes that as the ages went by, they kept thinking, "Oh, well, then God lives here and God lives there." No, God was working up to where He had His masterpiece. That was Jesus, His Son, the body. He was creating that masterful body. That's why the Bible says, "A body hast thou created for me." His body was created long before Mary ever made it. The body of Jesus was made long before as a dwelling place for the full Godhead to be on earth and never be taken away. And you say, "Well, just like the devil burnt the cross to the mountain, and just like he destroyed that pile of rock for Jacob, and just like he destroyed the tree of life for Adam, just like the devil wiped out everything else, he wiped out Jesus too, so he wiped out God's home." Listen, every time he wiped out one home, the devil's got to live with 30 in his place or 50 in his place, because he did away with Jesus supposedly, and Jesus is still on earth, and now instead of being a temple with one stone, he's got a million stones just in this country alone, 55 million stones to be accurate, approximately 55 million Christians with Christ living in them, and God having a home in 55 million places in the United States alone. He did a lousy job of destroying the house of God. It just keeps multiplying. I don't even want to think how many he's got in the world. Places where he can meet and dwell. I think if he continues this, he might have the whole earth. And maybe what the prophet said, "The whole earth is full of his glory," might just come to pass. It might just come to pass that there's not one place on this planet earth where you could walk, breathe, or move, or say anything and not bump into God. That is the revelation that God was giving Jacob. God's not up there all by himself, busy as a big God and judge and a king ruling the earth from a distance. No, God's down here. He lives in you. Next time you feel abandoned, laugh. Next time you feel like God left you, laugh. Next time you think God's not around, laugh. Where do you think he lives? Where do you think he lives? Where do you live? Just give your address. Come on. Come on. There you go. That's where he lives. So, well, how do I know? Let's all go. Let's all go. What'd you say? Let's all go there. I don't have to. I just told you where he lives. You can come over here. You'll find out he is. But I could go to yours too and find out. It's just that you need to be home. Better yet, we could all leave our home and all be here. And guess who's here? Why? Because he makes his home. This is a revelation he gave Jacob. I'm a God that makes my home on earth here with human beings. That's what El Bethel really means. It's a God that lives on earth with his people. Aren't you glad he does? If we had to wait out this whole earth and he lived up in heaven and maybe he heard us and maybe he didn't, you didn't feel that witness in his heart. He didn't whisper in your ear. He didn't comfort your heart during times and seasons of trouble. He wasn't here as a friend that you could talk to when sometimes you have to just unburden your heart. You know, there are days in my life, sometimes I just got to tell him stuff because things hurt and things get messed up and you just have to talk to him about these things. But what are friends for? How many of you have ever had a real good friend in your life? Did you ever download on them? Keep your hand up if you downloaded on them. Did they mind? Nah. Did you when they did? No, why? Because you're a friend. You love them. On the contrary, instead of being annoyed at them, didn't you find yourself wanting to comfort him? Well, guess what our friend does? He lives with us. He loves us. And in moments when you're just dishing it all out, he's there listening to you, pulling the little petals off the rose, throwing them, dumping them as you're both looking at the dirt. And then he said, but I got some good news for you. Sometimes he'll just talk to you through somebody else, through a prophetic word, and just give you a word of comfort or a word of release or a word of power or a word for your future that just changes everything for you. Why? Because we have God living on earth. That's a marvelous revelation that God lives inside of us. Don't ever forget that. God's not up there in heaven somewhere. When he says he's dwelling in heavenly places, who else does he say lives there in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? We do. Well, when it says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, did he go away from here? When it says you sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, does it mean you're gone? Hello, you here? Are you all here? No, you're not. He says you're gone. How can you be gone and be here? When you explain that to me, then I can tell you how it is that he's sitting up there with the Father and right here with us in every service and right here in your heart whenever you need him. You can talk to him. You don't have to yell because he's right there for you. You can be lying in a hospital bed dying and not have enough air and breath and energy left in you to cry out to God and say, save me. He sees the whimper in a heart that can't cry and he comes to your help. Why? Because he's there. He says, when your thought was formulating in your mind, I heard it from afar off. How far off? How far off? When somebody goes by and you're thinking something of them, how long does it take you to be informed of what you're thinking of that individual? Not long, because you're there to listen to what you're thinking. When you're troubled, don't have time to say, oh, Jesus, help me, because you weren't even thinking of Jesus at the moment. You're too paralyzed in fear to think of anybody. He saw the need, steered a car around, kept everybody, the apples of his eye, kept them. Said, well, Lord, I'm not living all that right. That's another story for another day. Has nothing to do one thing with another. It's that he's there and he just took care of a problem. That's all there is, and all glory be to him. Because he loves us and lives with us. Wasn't that a marvelous revelation that Jacob had? God dwells on earth. Keep that in your mind. Don't think of God so far. Oh, my Father, which art in heaven. Oh, forget the nonsense. He's here, right here with you. He loves you and is with you and just wants to talk with you and wants you to talk to him. He's here when you're yelling and screaming and kicking boxes across the room. He's there. He's there. It might not be a spiritual moment, but he's there. He's really there. And you're waiting for him to say, all right, boy, you're in trouble now. No, he's not. You know what he's saying? Fork over a box. I feel like kicking it myself. Huh. Why don't we get after this devil? I feel just as upset as you do. He'll rise up with you and tell that thing, that's enough. Get out of here. Amen. Because God makes his house where? In us. That was the revelation. Jesus was the first. Of God no longer dwelling on places geographically on earth, but finally could live in houses made by the hands of God, this house right here.